I will ask you to stand as you are able. If it's difficult to stand, please just put your hand over your heart. You're going to get something extra today. If you are ever thinking of buying a new Bible, you go to Genesis 1:1 and to John 1:1, and you read the verses that are in this lesson today. If it doesn't say this, don't buy it. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Most Holy God says this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. In the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, if you're looking at a Bible and it says God created heaven or God singular, or God created the sky, don't buy that Bible. In John 1, if it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, don't buy that Bible. That was free. Today we're going to talk about something that I never thought about before, and it just struck me this week. Have you ever paid attention in Genesis 1:1? We have the first recorded words of God. The first thing that was recorded for man to know that God said was, "Let there be light." Now, the first recorded words could have been anything. It could have been, you know, "Let there be earth." It could have been, "Do we really know what we're doing here? Because, you know, people are going to be a lot of trouble." It could have been anything, but the first recorded words that God wanted written down for us to know was, "Let there be light." Have you thought about how essential light is? Light is necessary for our physical life. We need light to even exist on this planet. The earth is one of the few, extremely few places where a planet is close enough to a sun, but not too close to a sun, to bear light. Do you realize that if the earth on its axis was tilted just 1 degree off, we could not have the world we live in? It is amazing to me, though, how the light that God placed, the star, the sun, is there for us to have light. Life as we know it, as carbon-based life forms, cannot exist without it. Even those things that live on the bottom of the ocean that never see light still depend on those things that are created in the light up above that filtered to where they can sustain themselves. Light is essential. It creates a biosphere and a biomass that makes it possible for us to physically live. Now, this time of year, I start having a little bit of seasonal affective disorder. You know what that is? That means that when there's not enough light, you get sleepy. Now, most of y'all know I'm a night owl. And if you call me at 1 or 2 in the morning, chances are I'm probably still up. That's just me. Ruth Ann and I talk to each other at 1 o'clock in the morning on many occasions. And I can call Ross up to 4 or 5 because Ross ain't right. And he don't sleep at all. So, but you know, we need that rhythm of life. And when it starts getting dark early and we have just a fewer hours of sunlight, even though I'm used to being up when it's dark, when it starts getting dark at 5:30, I get sleepy. In Alaska, in the military, if you are there during the winter months when you only have a couple hours of daylight, it is required that you go outside. I don't care how cold it is. It is required that you go outside into the sun for those hours that sunlight is there. Why? Because if you don't, you get sick. Artificial light doesn't do it, folks. The sun lamp doesn't do it. You need the physical sun. You have to have it. Or you grow sick, you grow weak, you die. People who are not out in the sun are more likely to get cancer. They're more likely to get various other diseases. You need the sun. And our whole rhythm of life is tied up in the sunrise, the sunset, the seasons, all which come from our sun. God made an amazing thing when he made our solar system. He made it possible for us to have physical life. But you know, physical life is just not enough. God didn't want us just to have physical life. He gave us an intellectual life. He gave us brains. He expects us to use them. He gave us a brain. And how many times, I mean, if you didn't see anything on that slide but the light above the guy's head, what would that mean? Got an idea. He got an idea. When we learn something new, we say the light turned on. When we're struggling with something and we can't figure it out, you know, like trigonometry, and all of a sudden we get it, we say the light came on. The light came on, and the darkness of ignorance is dispelled. We need intellectual light. We even call what we learn enlightenment. Because, folks, ignorance is darkness. Sometimes it's a worse darkness than physical darkness. And light is necessary for our spiritual life. So many times in the Bible it talks about light and life together. Did you hear what I read this morning? He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him was not one thing come into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light of Christ cannot be overcome. When Jesus came, those people that walked in darkness saw a great light. And it has never been put out. It cannot be put out. The light of Christ is an amazing thing because, like physical light, it keeps you safe. Okay, true confessions. How many people have got up in the night and didn't turn the light on? Let me see your hand. If you've ever done that, let me see your hand. Got up at night, didn't turn the light on. All right. Now, how many of those people who raised their hand tripped over something when you did that? But pretty much everybody that raised their hand. Why? Because you didn't see it. Spiritual light. We need it. Because if we don't, we trip. To not have the light is dangerous business. That's why we have lights on cars, lights on trains, street lights, porch lights. Because being in the dark is a dangerous thing. Being spiritually in the dark is a dangerous thing that God does not want for us. But how do we get the light? How does the light come to us? Well, sometimes the light comes all at once. In the scriptures that we read at Christmas, an angel shining with the light of glory came to the shepherds. Boom. There was the light. You know, sometimes spiritually, I'll have that. We call it an epiphany, by the way. We call it an epiphany when all of a sudden it seems, boom, we finally get it. We finally understand. I've had several of those moments. The one that resonates the strongest with me was when I understood that until all people are fed, until all people are warm, until all people have the love of Christ and hear that story, that my life can never be complete. That we are truly that connected. That until my brothers and sisters have what they need, it's never going to be complete for me. When I understood that, and I heard the words a thousand times, some of you all are just hearing those words, but when that really hits you and what that means, you cannot ever again be stingy. You cannot ever again hide that light that you have under a bushel. You can't ever again walk past someone in need and not see them. When you truly get it. When the light comes on. And that hit me kind of all at once. But, you know, most of the time our journey in the light is a journey. Most things don't come to us just boom. Most things are hard work. You know, when I read hymnology, when I read about how the hymns were written, and you know, sometimes the hymn writer just all came to him all at once, just sat down, boom, wrote the whole thing out. Most of the time, it's a long process of writing and rewriting and redoing. Most of the time, it is a long journey toward the light. And those things that I understand, you know, they're still shining bright, but those things that I don't understand are still dark, and I want all the darkness gone. And it won't really all be gone until I get to heaven. But how can we spread the light if we just have this one little tinkle? Let's learn all we can learn. How are we going to do that? The Word made flesh and the Word of God. Every once in a while, my lights dim a little bit. How about you? You get dim every once in a while? Yeah, that's what happens. Why does that happen? Well, a lot of times my light gets dim because I get so busy doing God's stuff that I forget to be with God. It's all right if I'm transparent, right? It's all right if you understand that I have to struggle with these things too. You with me? Because, folks, you can get so busy doing good things that you forget to spend time with the good one. And I know when my light is starting to get a little dim. in the morning and I pray. I pray for what's brought up here for the week. I pray for what you all put in the bulletin. I pray for the prayer requests that come through on the prayer chain. And some of you all are on my perpetual list. Some of y'all need it. Some more of y'all probably should be on my perpetual list. But the ones that, you know, once that is done, you know, it's almost sometimes, I hate to say this, don't think bad of me, but every once in a while, I kind of do that to tick mark it off for the day. Sorry. The preacher has feet of clay too. Folks, you have to keep the light burning. And you can only do that with a relationship with the Word made flesh and spending time every single day in the Word made book. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It keeps you from stumbling. It keeps you toward the good. And everything is good. Even if all you're doing is good stuff, sometimes you got to decide which one of these am I going to do. Because none of us can do it all. Can we? So you have to ask yourself, Lord, what's the best use of my time right now? I was talking with Sam this morning about prayer. I love talking to little kids because they get, you know, they have such insight. And we were talking about prayer and what all prayer was. And sometimes, you know, I just talk to God just talking to him without an agenda. Y'all ever talk to God without an agenda? Just, you know, hi, Lord, how you doing today? Not asking for anything, just talking. I do that a lot. It reminds me that the Word made flesh still lives in this heart. But the Word made book is so easy to gather dust. You want your light to shine, folks. You've got to stoke it. What happens when the fuel runs out? Sometimes, well, it always burns low until you stoke it up again. But folks, sometimes the light just goes completely out. Wouldn't it be great if you went down front and that was the end of it? You know? I always love that. You know, it's from my Baptist background. We went down front. Did you hear Susan went down front today? Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But going down front, that's the start, not the end. When you give your life to Christ, that's the start, not the end. It's all about the light of the world. God's command to every one of us as we walk around in this world is let there be light. And folks, we're the light. We are the ones that are called to shine in the dark places because Christ lives in us. Don't hide that light under a bushel. Put it up on a mountain for the whole world to see. Just a little light shining in the darkness cannot be overcome no matter how much dark there is. As long as you keep fuel. So let's keep the fuel. Let's keep our fires burning. This is a Christmas time story of light. I was walking through my house, and if I do say so, my house is really lovely. My house is beautiful. It really is. All those men who worked to renovate it are going, "Yes, Lord." But right now, even with all of that, well, they did the hard work. They put the floor in and the windows. But men and women, excuse me, who did all that hard work to renovate. But I'm talking about my Christmas decorations. United Methodist women, am I right? Is my house not lovely? Amen. Yes, it is. My house is beautiful because I have all these shiny, light, glittery things up. And I was walking through the house just a couple of days ago, and I thought, you know, when I put all this away, the house always looks so sad and dark. Wonder why we can't just leave this stuff up all the time. Of course, you all know I usually don't get mine down till sometime in June, but maybe that's why. Let's not put the shining light of Christmas away this year. Even if you put up your tree and take down the decorations, let's let the light of Christ still shine. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.